I'm so lucky that I was born in that specific geographical space. So it's very soft and gentle, and then you come to Delhi and you're like, oh my God. I feel the cinema is a very powerful medium. One must be responsible.
Most of the American actors learned from Stanislavski, who was a Russian.
Yeah.
And America has a problem with Russia.
Art should bring people together. If the intent is only profit, that you are appealing to the lower movements, the three chakras below the navel, only your anger, your sexuality, your jealousy. I was trolled, I think, twice in my life.
Hello and welcome. I'm Anupam Kher and welcome to my show, Let's Talk Bharat. For the next half an hour, we will discuss everything India, Bharat, with a very special guest. He's a dear colleague, an actor known for both here and abroad. He has starred in English, Hindi, Assamese, Bengali, Tamil, Marathi, Malayalam, Norwegian and French films. Welcome, Adil Hussain.
Thank you so much.
Any other language left?
No, lots. Russian, I haven't done yet. Huh? Russian,
you've not done. Okay, yes. This is your audition for that.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
How wonderful. You came from Assam and parents had nothing to do with acting?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all, no.
Were they supportive of you becoming an actor?
Not really, no. I think it's the case of that generation. I'm sure that a lot of people have faced the same. He was a school teacher, small town. Newspaper used to arrive 3 days after they were published. So he had no clue. But he was a voracious reader. He was a great fan of Tagore and other English literature. He was a very, very, very well-read man. But he was scared of, basically, financial security.
How many brothers and sisters were you?
I have 4 elder brothers. Okay. I'm the youngest.
You were the youngest. And they were, what were they planning to do or what they did?
Two of them are lawyers. Mm. One was a school teacher. He retired. All of them retired now.
So they were in a regular job and there was this youngest son who wanted to be an actor.
Exactly. And they didn't understand that at all. Like, what? What are you talking about? And Bombay also, for us, is far away.
Yeah. Oh, so you always wanted to be a film actor?
Yes. Initially.
Okay.
Initially, yes. Mm-hmm. Then I fell in love with theatre later.
Okay. What did you learn most in the drama school? You went to London also then?
Yes, after NSD. I got a scholarship, yes. Yeah. So I think the most important aspect of the training process I felt is that the understanding of human history, history of art. Initially I was like, what am I doing? You know, I have come here to learn acting and they give me dialogues and I will speak the dialogues. But they started teaching me history of art, history of theatre architecture, history of ancient literature, Western ancient, Indian ancient, Western modern, Indian modern. And then slowly I felt that it is such a comprehensive understanding of the past to understand where we are and why we are here, like this sitting here, and to understand physicality, emotional evolution of human being, and the exposure to different approach to acting. For example, Stanislavski or Grotowski or Mayerhold or Michael Chekhov, all these people have found their own way.
Strangely, you named all the Russian people.
Correct.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, it's strangely.
But he's the father of modern acting, Stanislavski. And Chekhov, for that matter, they work together.
Amazing.
I'm a great fan of Chekhov.
Yeah. We have all learned. Most of the American actors I have learned from Stanislavski, who was a Russian.
Yeah.
And America has a problem with Russia.
Russia.
But all their top actors
are from
great, great admirers of method acting.
Absolutely.
Chekhov.
Yes.
All performances by the greatest actors have done.
Yes.
Chekhov. Even as a student of literature, my first book was given to you. I don't know if you remember those Indo-Soviet exchange.
I do.
Books were translated into
into English.
Yeah, into English and Hindi.
In Hindi as well. In Assam, we didn't get Assamese translation. Yeah. We got English translation. I will tell you what I read later.
Tell me. My first book was Maxim Gorky's Mother.
Mother, right.
And yours?
No, so mine was not from literature, it was about science.
Oh.
To understand theory of relativity for an 11-year-old. Two of my brothers were communists once, so he got me one.
Okay.
And it was so wonderfully explained, the idea of relativity.
Mm.
You know, what is relative? So the example I still remember, the train is running and you are inside the train. Mm. You and I are sitting face to face. And if I throw a ball up there, it comes in your hand. But the person who is standing outside the train, he would see the ball going from here because the train is running.
Mm.
So it is a relative perspective of where the ball is.
Oh, wow.
For me, it is going up and down.
Mm.
For the person who is outside the train,
it's moving.
If it is a transparent train, for that matter. And so the ball is going up, it is going with the train, it is falling. And I still remember that. I read at the age of 11.
Wow, that's amazing.
And of course, Tolstoy and Gorky.
Dostoevsky.
Yes, Dostoevsky, oh my God, it's just...
Nikolai Ostrovsky.
Yes.
One of my favorite books was How the Steel Was Tempered. I come from Kashmir, you come from Assam.
Right.
As actors or as cultural ambassadors, do we somehow unknowingly bring that to our art, our heritage?
Where we come from?
Yeah.
There are specifics and there would be certain universality in it, what we bring, definitely. Like, as I keep saying to my friends, that I'm so lucky that I was born in that specific geographical space because it was border of Bengal and Assam. Mm. So I grew up with Tagore and Assamese literature and the vibrancy of cultural activities that I grew up in. It is like ingrained in my body, the sense of rhythm and music and, you know, at the same time, the gentleness of the climate, the gentleness of the topographical condition.
Mm.
Like Kashmir, for example, is beautiful.
Mm.
I come from such a beautiful place that people didn't want to come out of that place. That's why you'll find very few Assamese people outside of Assam till 25 years ago.
That's right.
You would not find.
Assam is beautiful.
Such a beautiful place. Yeah. So I was there till last evening, and I was sitting in my living room facing the 2-acre pond, where I grew up swimming, and we catch fish from there. And you don't have to grow anything, it grows, the leafy vegetables.
And it grows on you also.
So it's very soft and gentle, and then you come to Delhi and you're like, oh my God, it's a cultural shock for me. A
lot of times, people want to sort of say that cinema should be also about change in the system or change in the society. How much do you agree with that?
I feel the cinema is a very powerful medium.
Mm.
I remember watching a documentary on Netflix long back called Five Came Back.
Mm.
Those five directors were chosen by the American government to go to the war front when America hasn't gotten yet involved in Second World War.
Mm.
And they were sent to the war front in Europe so that they come back and make movies to inspire the young ones to enroll in the military.
Mm.
So it is a powerful medium. Mm. There are so many other examples. I'm just giving one example. So when it is a powerful medium, I think one must be responsible how you use this powerful medium.
Mm.
Because I remember coming out of the cinema hall when I was like 13-year-old, watching Yaadon Ki Baraat.
Mm.
And I was like, don't mess with me. You know, with that attitude I came out, watching Dharmendra Sahab.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So it is extremely penetrating. It can penetrate you. It can go very deep within, and it can condition your idea of life, your worldview, how you look at relationship and idea of love, and especially for young ones. You know, what are you giving them? So I'm not saying it should be a message, but I'm saying be aware of what you churn out.
Mm.
If the intent is only profit, then the possibility of, as Sri Aurobindo says it very nicely, that you are appealing to the lower movements, the three chakras below the navel.
Mm.
When you appeal to that, it's like fast food coming out because it appeals to that. The film, the product, appeals to only your anger, your sexuality, your jealousy, which is very easily stirrable chakras.
Mm.
But to appeal to your heart and other chakras up from there, it's very difficult to make you feel uplifted.
Mm.
to make you feel a quiet joy within. Mm. And you're like, ah, wow, what a beautiful film that was.
Yeah.
To make you feel like that, I think we could do more films like that. Mm. I'm not saying there is no place for entertaining. It must be entertaining as well.
Mm.
Like Life of Pi, I'm part of it.
Mm.
It is entertaining. Mm. It earned $1 billion almost.
Mm.
It was made for $110 million. No stars. Irfan had just done one film, Namesake, internationally. Mm. Taboo didn't do that. Taboo and Irfan did Namesake.
Mm.
That was my third film. Nobody knew me.
Mm.
Suraj was a first timer.
Mm.
Only Ang Lee was known. But the film itself ran for 5 weeks in Guwahati, where no Hollywood films ever ran for more than a week.
Mm.
And it's not because I was there, because I was in other films also, it never did that well. So what I'm saying is that you can make films which are uplifting, which are penetrating, which gives you a sort of, at least inspire you to look for meaning in life. Not only, of course, we have created a society, wealth is being regarded as the highest standard, how to judge success.
Do you get upset about sometimes some people now sort of brand cinema based on their own personal philosophy of life, or which side do they belong to in terms of what is their personal thought process? I felt miserable when I did Kashmir Files.
Right.
It was the truth of what, according to what happened in Kashmir with us.
Right.
And then on international platforms, a jury chairman in Goa Film Festival said it's a propaganda film, or it's something like that. Or even for that matter, when I did Accidental Prime Minister, I'm sure it must be bothering you also sometime when you do that and people interpret it. What is your reaction at that
time? I haven't watched either of the films. I heard about it, and I would like to take some time to watch it, because I would like to, I don't want to be influenced by the critics and reviews and what happened after that.
Mm.
After that, when I forget about that, I will watch it.
But do you usually make a decision like that about film?
I do. Not because of anything.
So if you see Schindler's List, I'm just asking you.
Yes, absolutely.
You will think before you watch that film?
Definitely. Now, see, that's one of the most important films. Why? In Schindler's List, Spielberg, being a Jewish man, he made a Nazi party member the hero of the film.
He was the lead actor.
He was still
the Nazi party hero.
But he's the Nazi party member.
Mm.
In the last scene, if you remember, he said, "Oh my God, I wish I had sold my wristwatch and I could have saved for more men." He could have made him a villain. He did not. He made this man, Mr. Liam Neeson, Schindler, a hero. But he's from the opposite camp. So humanity is there in also amongst the occupier. So my point being that is that a film, when it can create the bridge between the fighting tribes for whatever ideological reason, for territorial reason, it doesn't matter. You know, when a film can, so art should bring people together. That's my view. Art could bring people together to understand the humanity amongst the other person as well. And more people on the other side is killing the other people. So that's my view about art. Schindler's List, I have not seen Kashmir Files, but what I heard that there is not a single Muslim character who is good in that film. That I heard, I haven't seen, so I cannot point. So, but Schindler's List, why I'm mentioning, and you mentioned it, that he's a Nazi party member. He's the hero created by Mr. Spielberg, who is a Jewish man. He had all the money, all the power and resources. He could have found another story to tell the problem of the Jewish or the suffering of the Jewish people. But he did not choose that. He chose Schindler, Mr. Schindler, to show his side of humanity.
Lot of things have changed now. This modernization has happened. Technicalities have changed. I remember I did my first film in 84. And I have gone through this changing the reel. and yes, editing the film on Steinbeck.
Moviewala,
etc. And then the VHS came in, then the LP came in, then the CD came in, VCD came in.
Yeah.
Now the main thing that is happening is AI.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on AI? Does it frighten you that somebody will, or you think it's okay? A lot of actors are sort of going to court to sort of...
I'm a member of, I'm sure you are a member of SAG as well.
Like yes.
SAG-AFTRA. I'm a member of
SAG. Yeah, there was a huge strike.
Strike for six months.
Yes.
And I think they got a deal.
Yes.
Finally from the studios.
That right.
Certain rights cannot be violated of the actors.
Mm.
So I don't really know. I don't think I have read a lot on both sides.
Mm.
I don't think I'm in a position to sort of form a concrete view, but I think we must be very, very careful. When I hear this Israeli amazing writer who wrote, I keep forgetting his name, Sapiens, his view about AI, what he says, and it makes sense to me completely, he says that it is something that humanity has never, never faced. The phenomena of AI, it's so different and so strong that we have never faced that, how to deal with it if it goes out of hand. And the person who was responsible to create the first AI, he left the company, Google, and he said it's dangerous. He himself left it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm a layman in terms of understanding technology. So,
but how conscious are you that if somebody is using your voice for say an ad, and you are not paid for it?
I would feel absolutely terrible. I would give me my money.
Yes, exactly.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
You use it, no problem. If I don't have to go to the studio, but using my voice, you have to pay me the royalty because it is my organic voice, which you chose without my permission. And if you want my permission, then you have to pay for it. Absolutely.
You're on social media, and so am I.
Yes.
And being a known person, one has to deal with trolls, as they are officially called. According to me, trolls were always there in life. Now we have an official word. I remember when I was a small chap in Shimla, we all used to have black and white TV.
Yes.
And then Mr. Malhotra got color TV.
Yes.
So we trolled him. So he must be taking bribes. So that's why he got it. So, now there's an official word for that.
Yeah.
How do you deal with it, and how much does it bother you?
I was trolled, I think, twice in my life. One was coincidentally the same time when Kashmir Files came out.
Oh, really? Okay.
I had no idea it has come out. I met you immediately after that in Bombay Airport. I bumped into you.
Yes.
And I told you I haven't watched the movie, I'm going to watch it. And so I was having a chat about what art means to me, or definition of art for me, with a student of mine. And I formulated, and I thought, hey, this is, I can put it in 140 words, it's nice. So I tweeted it, and everybody thought, I said, for me, art brings people together.
Okay.
And it could be gentle, could be gentle. Like my son doesn't listen to me when I'm harsh with him. If you and I are in opposite camps, and if the idea is to come together, if it is killing each other, I don't have any problem. If you and I are there, and my son is in the other side, he doesn't listen to me when I sit on my high horse. Hey, do this. No, Papa, why? You explain to me. You know, like my five brothers are totally in different camps. My father could not tame them. So why would a stranger listen to me unless I appeal to their most good self? And we have to find a way to have a dialogue. So from that perspective, I said, it could be gentle.
You must have
and
been
I
killed.
Was trolled. And I was like, oh no. So I apologized that for the simple reason that, oh, I didn't know the context why you're trolling me. Because I haven't seen the film, and this is the first time
I'm having... Oh, this was something... Oh, I did not know anything about this.
This is the first time I'm having a conversation publicly about it.
Okay.
And they also mentioned, what about Schindler's List? I'm like,
oh my God, this must have appeared that I have a reference of context. No, there was no reference of context.
This is coincidental. So this is exactly, I did not respond to those. I don't, because there is no point responding.
No, there is no point.
But I felt I should definitely find a way to tell the people, those who felt hurt, I said, sorry, I didn't mean anything to do with the film because I haven't watched the film and I have no business to talk about the film. I was in a village in Kerala when the film came out. After 3 or 4 days, or 1 day later probably, or maybe 1 day before I tweeted.
Oh God.
So that was the situation.
I was very happy to read, not for any particular reason, that one of the ideal roles that you want to do is that of Krishna.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
What fascinates you about, as an actor?
Yeah, yeah. See, as an actor is, you know, probably happened later. First, as a human being, I read several versions of Gita. The first one was Eknath Ji, and then other versions, Radha Krishna version. And but what got me, completely spellbound me or stunned me, was Sri Aurobindo's version of Gita.
Okay.
The messages of Gita. And if you please read it.
I would love to recommend it
to everybody here, please. Every human being should read that book.
Okay. And he presented it to me.
I will. I'll send it to you. Send me your address. I will send it to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was so touched. I was sitting in my living room. My wife would come and I would be stunned looking into the wall. And she would ask me, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. It sort of spoke, it surpassed my intellectual, intelligent mind and touched me deep. That happened. And then I kept reading. It took me 4 months to finish that because it was very strong. And then my friend, my mentor, Dilip Shankar, I said, I'd like to do it. He said, good. I have a gist of Gita. He wrote it. It's called Karma Nishtha.
Wow.
And we started rehearsing that. And I played Arjun. My mentor played Krishna. And then he said, now we switch the role. And I was like, no, I can't play him. I can't, you know. He is capable. I can't. I'm in Arjuna, if at all.
Zone,
I'm asking questions now, you know. Tell me why. Tell me why.
Yeah.
Why do you have to fight? In an emotional situation, trembling all the time, you know. So if I can be a billionth of Krishna, I think my life is fulfilled.
Wow.
The unconditional love and gratitude and universal love for every, not human beings only, everything that he propagates in the book, in the Gita, to even be truthful about it, I can't pretend to be humble. Humility, unless it is pure or it is there, in whatever degree it is there, it shows. You know, you cannot, no matter how good you are an actor, that's what I feel. So to have the ability of that magnitude of Krishna, if I can have this much, I'm done for this life. That's what I thought. So that's, I don't know how to do it.
Wow. We can go on and on, Adil, talking to each other about cinema. But before I end this, I have to ask you, which is one of your most favorite films which impacted you as an actor, not as a person?
The first Hollywood film I've ever seen.
And that was?
That was Papillon. And before that, I have never seen a Hollywood film. You know, I thought those actors, Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman, they are like picked up from the streets.
Wow.
And they had been given roles. And I was like, before that, I saw Shatrughan Sinha Sahab, Bachchan Sahab.
Yeah.
Oy,
Assam ke theater mein.
Theater mein. Or Chura Chura, matlab bunking the school. And I said, well, who are these people? So that changed the idea of acting also in me, towards going towards character acting, rather than personality actor.
Right, right. That was a great scene when they jump.
My God.
Yeah.
One stays back.
Yeah.
I think Dustin jumps or Steve McQueen jumps.
Dustin Hoffman jumps.
He jumps to be free. Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Adil.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much. It was so wonderful to,
so lovely to, talk, to, you.
To talk to you. So wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for watching. Join me next week for another intimate conversation with another esteemed guest. And let's talk Bharat.